Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is Boomer and Geo on the Fan across the country on CBS Sports Network, and we are honored to have in studio a former WWE champion and, of course, a WWE Hall of Famer, the great, the one, the only, Sergeant Slaughter, on behalf of WrestleMania, which is back in the area at MetLife in April, so we're very excited for that. Sarge, good morning. Thanks for being here. We are honored by your presence.
Attend, Hut! Rise and shine, maggots. You're listening to Boomer, Geo, and the Sarge. Listen up.
Oh, man, this is going to be great. This is going to be absolutely great.
Yeah. This is tremendous.
You know, Sarge, I go way back with you, man. I go way back to the Flying Brian Pillman days in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And, you know, saw you in person many times. Have you ever figured out how many matches have you actually had in your life, in your career?
I never have really looked back at it. I'd say an average of about 250 a year, give or take a few.
For about 20, 30 years?
I went for about 43 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness.
And you couldn't even get 6 weeks off paid vacation.
No, never got anything like that. No.
How about the guys today? Are
just
they getting a little
get a day off?
How about the guys today? They have a little bit better of a deal? They're still grinding as much as you were.
Well, you know, we did a lot more traveling in automobiles and dust croppers and things like that. Sometimes we'd wrestle three times on a Saturday, sometimes three times on a Sunday. You do three tapings in one night in Allentown and then three in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So I remember wrestling 14 times in 1 week, and you just did it. That was your job. The more you're on the television tube, the more you get recognized.
You know, you did a lot of that. I'm just wondering, how are you physically?
I'm good. I just had a little back operation and took some pressure off my fourth and fifth vertebrae, and I feel like ready to jump back in there.
Now, I know Boomer has never been able to forgive your heel turn in the early 90s.
With the iron cheek. Hey, I don't know what the hell was wrong. What were you thinking about?
That was something I had just left right before WrestleMania 1. Vince wasn't real happy about that. I got an offer from Hasbro to be in G.I. Joe, first living G.I. Joe character. And so I told him about it. I thought he'd be real happy. He would have a different toy company. And he said, "Gee, Sarge, we just signed with LJN, and I can't really let you to do both." He said, "But do what you want." And of course, he thought I'd stay with him. So I finally told him I was going to G.I. Joe. He didn't like that too much.
Yeah, I have vivid memories of this. I was only about 9 or 10 years old, all right? Yeah. And this was WrestleMania 7. And I remember my parents taking me out to a restaurant bar where WrestleMania was on. I wanted to watch. And at the door, they were handing out toilet paper with Saddam Hussein's face on it.
Yeah.
And we were all rooting for Hogan to kick your ass. I mean, that's what I remember as a 9 or 10 year old.
I did my job.
Yeah.
You got paid to do a job and you did it.
Right, exactly. Now, there was fallout from this, though. There was no doubt. People really, really were angry about that.
Vince McMahon had called me up after about 6 years of hiatus from WWE, and he's just got out of WrestleMania 6 and was going to do WrestleMania 7. So he's already looking at his main event, and he said, "Are you ready to go back to work?" I said, "Yeah, I'm ready." He says, "Come on to my house, and I'll show you what I got in mind." So I figured he's going to take Sergeant Slaughter, G.I. Joe, the real American hero, and make him the real, real, real American hero.
Yeah.
So I got to his house. He had this layout of L.A. Coliseum, 104,000 seats, and he says, "I want you and Hogan to be the main event." I said, "Okay, how are we going to make Hulk Hogan the villain?" He goes, "Hulk Hogan? No, he's not going to be the villain. You're going to be the villain." I said, "Well, how are we going to do that?" So he started laying out the Iraqi sympathizer, and you think the America's gotten weak, and a little country like Iraq taking over Kuwait and running the world, and you're back, and you're not happy. I said, "Okay." He said, "Well, go home and talk to your family about it, because it could be a little rough."
And it was. So it was more than a little rough.
But was it financially beneficial?
Oh, it was beneficial.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, you know, you got what you got. But I remember that, too, because I was like, "Man, I can't believe you just did this."
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, we had bomb threats, death threats every night. I came home from back to Philadelphia after winning the title from the Ultimate Warrior in Miami at a Royal Rumble. And one of the backstage hands said, "Have you talked to your wife today?" And I said, "No." "You have to talk to Vince McMahon." "No." We didn't have cell phones, so I get on the phone. My wife, answering machine, call Vince. "Oh, yeah, Vince, Sarge, I just talked to your wife. I sent her to a hotel." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, somebody called up the wrestling office this morning and said they're going to kill you and kill me and kill our families.
Wow.
Blow up our houses, our cars." And
what was that like for you during that time? I mean, did you take it seriously? I took
it pretty serious. Yeah. And then again, I thought, well, I guess I did my job right, you know?
Yeah, sure. But I mean, that can't feel good, right?
No.
I mean, so you're doing your job. You right. know that you're headlining WrestleMania, which right. is the top of the top of your business. But right. now you have to deal with the fallout.
Oh, yeah. It was rough.
So how? Yeah, I went. Right. So did you regret it?
No, I never really, really regretted it. Yeah, the only time I had a problem with it is they wanted me to burn the American flag, and I wouldn't do that. So
right.
I gave them a better idea. I thought, put the Hulk Hogan shirt on a flag pole, and I'll burn that. Say it's Americana, you know.
Right.
So that's what we did, and I think that got the right type of heat, as we say in our business.
Yeah, we're talking to Sergeant Slaughter in studio with Boomer and Geo on the Fan CBS Sports Network. How long did it take you to get back into the good graces of the wrestling fan, and what was the thing that did that?
Well, when the war started, we decided when Americans were losing their lives defending our country, we'd get back out of it. So I went around all the monuments and asked for my country back and did vignettes all over the United States of America. And then one night, Vince told me to go out and do a promo with Mean Gene Okerlund, God rest his soul. And he was about the only one that would ever interview me because he wasn't afraid of the fallout. And so I got out there, and I didn't know quite what to do, so I started asking for my country back, and then I started singing, "God Bless America." Well, there wasn't a dry eye in the house, and I got back, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and I were teamed up that night to take on the Iron Sheik and I believe it was Nikolai Volkov. Hmm. So when I got back, Vince just was shaking his head. He says, "That's the greatest thing I've ever seen." He said, "What if you went out with Hacksaw tonight and you turned on him again? You know, it will start out all over."
"No, no, we're not doing that again. We're not doing that again."
I said, "No. I said, "Okay." And he goes, "No, I'm just kidding you."
I was thinking, like, you know, for the Iron Sheik, though, it must not have been a very comfortable time for him either.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. He actually was not with me at that time, and we brought him in later on to do a pay-per-view for SummerSlam in Madison Square Garden. It was a triangle of terror. It was myself, Iron Sheik as Colonel Mustafa, and then we had the General Adnan, and the three of us took on Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior. We call it the match made in heaven, match made in hell. Macho Man married his wife, Miss Elizabeth, the same night.
So. Jesus God.
We got everything out of what we could.
Man, these storylines are incredible. What did you find the toughest about your prime? Was it the stuff that you had to do as, you know, the character stuff and these storylines, or was it, you know, the wrestling and the physical side of it where you have to be at the top of your game to be that good and to be wanted to headline WrestleMania?
Yeah, we the worst part about the whole thing I did with the Iraqi sympathizer was when we got to LA to do the big 104,000 seat capacity. They were telling Vince McMahon, "You got to secure the Coliseum. Going to be about $4 or $5 million." And he said, "Well, I'm not doing that." So we had to go back into the little arena, which only sat about 18,000. And it just was a heartbreaker to do all that, go through all that, and not be able to go break that record.
You know? Right.
As you know, Boomer, being in front of all those people, you just, the adrenaline just flows. And you put on the greatest matches, you know, of all time. And it wasn't so hard because I was a character. You know, I was playing a character.
Sure.
It was hard for my kids, you know, my two daughters going to school. I'd have to go up there every once in a while and and speak to their class and the school and
let them know everything is okay. You're fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I'm just their dad. I'm playing a character.
Was there ever a guy that, like, you know, when you got to the arena and you knew who you were getting ready to go into the match with, that you just like, oh, I can't believe I got to do this again with this guy?
Yeah. Stan Hansen.
Really?
Yeah. Hilarious. Stan was one of those guys that would be in the locker room laughing up and having a good time. And as soon as that buzzer rang for our match to be up, he'd take off his glasses and he'd start feeling around to see where he was at. He was blind as a bat. And he couldn't see in the ring half the time, and he just knocked your block off.
He just, there was no controlling him. There was no controlling him, or
right.
No?
You never put any cologne or anything on because you don't want him to smell you. So he can find you.
We're talking to WWE Hall of Famer Sergeant Slaughter in studio. WrestleMania back at MetLife Sunday, April 7th. Tickets for WrestleMania are currently available through Ticketmaster. And one of the things that I really do admire about the WWE is its ability to continue to stay on top of mind of their fans throughout all sorts of different eras of the world and the way that we consume media. I mean, we're talking about you and how popular it was in the early 90s, and we're still talking about how popular it is. And now you think about the female side of the business, the they don't call them divas anymore, but the, right, you know, the superstars and the women that have emerged, and Ronda Rousey helping that. I mean, it is incredible what they have built. I mean, they're just as popular as about any other superstar in the history of
they
it
are.
Now.
So they've had their own pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. And a lot of times people will send me a tweet or something and ask me who I'd like to wrestle of the talent of today. And I go, Charlotte, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch.
You know, right. Absolutely.
They've wrestled, you know, pretty damn good. And they don't stop. Keep going.
You know, the reality of your business, though, think about it. Pedro Morales just passed away.
Yes.
And again, another wrestler dies way too young.
Right.
You know, when you see like that, do you realize that, you know, here I am at the age of 70. I'm right. back in it now. I'm right. an ambassador for it and all that right. other stuff. Right. Well, if you had a message to these young wrestlers, what would it be?
Well, luckily for our new talent now, you know, we didn't have all the doctors, the trainers, the chiropractors, and the great rings that – that's our stage we work in. We would wrestle in rings one night that were hard as the floor. The next night you couldn't even walk in them. They bounced so much. And so we got all the greatest you know, possible things to work with and with us. And we used to, you know, adjust each other. And I'd sew up a couple of guys. You know,
these guys don't get health care benefits and everything now and all that stuff?
Not unless they do it on their own.
Right.
You know,
so they're still individual contractors.
Yes. So, you know, it's a better athlete, as you know, Boomer. The football players of today are a better athlete than we were. Maybe not better than you, but I know they're better than I.
No,
than
they're
I was
better than me, definitely. Yeah. So bigger, you know, faster, without question.
The bigger, the more agile. They eat right. They train right. They're taught how to do those things where we just came out of high school and did what we thought was best.
Take me through how the Cobra Clutch became the finishing move and the, I guess, basically the history of that.
Can we actually have you do that on Al Dukes, our
sure,
producer?
Sure.
That would be
where
great.
Come on, Al.
In here.
Hey,
yeah.
Al, we're
yeah, come
show
on, Al.
Us, show, this how is, this, yeah. show us how this
This is
going to
be a thrill for him.
Yeah, and will
is,
somebody please yeah. take a picture of it with their
yeah.
phone?
So. Yeah,
you got
your phone?
Yeah,
yeah okay.
I got it. Here we go.
So you can just go right here.
Well, there was a move called the sleeper hold.
Oh, the sleeper, yeah.
The
don't
sleeper
put sleep.
Was like this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You, and we put all the pressure on this carotid artery right here. That would put you to sleep or make you give up.
Oh, how's that feel,
so,
Al?
So,
like
so
I want to give up.
I created the Cobra Clutch, which works on both carotid arteries.
Oh, no. Oh.
Like that one.
You see that, Al?
See that?
I do, yeah.
Yours,
is that right?
That's
okay.
How we
are. Are you okay?
Yeah, that was great.
That was great.
I love Sarge.
Yeah, there you go, Sarge.
That will knock a guy out. And then you got to wake them up by slapping them in the back of the neck.
Well, usually they gave up. Usually they gave up before they passed out. But there were a couple guys I had to smack on the back. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. I got that, we could do that to you later on.
I'm
if you
awake. Like. I'm good.
Okay, good.
I started using that in Kansas City in 1974, 75, and Harley Race was just out of being the NWA world champion, so he was there a lot. And so we wrestled almost every night. And we would wrestle a 1 hour to a draw, and then the next week we'd go 90 minutes to a draw, and then we'd go 2 hours to a draw, and then there was a no time limit, and it got you into shape in a hurry.
And you have great memories, it seems like, outside of the rough patch that we talked about. I mean, your nostalgia for this seems, it comes through when you talk about it, you're smiling. I mean, it's a career to be extremely proud of. I'm sure that you are.
Well, I loved wrestling as a boy and watched it faithfully, and never dreamed I'd ever be a professional wrestler, but I always wanted to be in that uniform at a Super Bowl, you know. And I just didn't, you know, my parents were farmers. They didn't have the money to put away for college. So I went in the Marine Corps, and I thought I'd, you know, try it college and make my way to professional football later. But ended up getting into professional wrestling. I've been doing that, you know, for 45 years.
So when you show up here today, you're in your full garb and everything else.
Yep.
You got the sunglasses on. When people see you, how do they react to you?
Well, everybody pretty much recognizes the face that only a mother could love. You know, you can't hide the jaw. And when I do these appearances, I try to go into character as much as I can. You know, the look anyway.
Yeah.
The voice just comes natural. Yeah.
And it's still fun for you.
It's fun.
Right. It's
fun.
Not like I got to put on the hat again.
If you go walking through the airport and you go dressed like that, what is the reaction?
Oh, if I went like this, I would never get to the plane in time. I miss half my planes. You know, I just have fun with it. When I golfed with you, Boomer, down at Dan Marino's golf tournament, I wore camouflage fatigues,
and I had character on the golf course.
Combat boots with golf spikes in them, and played like that. And sometimes it was like 95, 100 degrees. I was suffering because they made us walk in some of these tournaments. They were 3-4 days. And
two craziest rounds of golf. One was with Sergeant Slaughter. The other one was with John Daly, who played with no shoes on, smoking cigarettes and drinking vodka the whole time.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was, bourbon or whatever it was. Yeah. Two of the craziest rounds of golf I'll never forget.
Just the way he plays Augusta.
I remember Boomer's son was there, Gunner, and we were about almost finished, and there was a big blow-up of Hootie, the Hooter mascot. And I said to Gunner, I said, "Should I go clothesline him?" And he goes, yeah. So I run at this mascot, and I hit him. And for some reason, the air went out of it. And I laid on top of this poor guy, and all the air was going out of it. And I looked over at Gunner on the golf cart, and he was just having a great laugh.
And he came over and started
stomping on the guy.
I can't believe he remembers that.
That is
Gunner
incredible.
Was probably like 7 or 8 years old at the time.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That really is.
Yeah. And then we got to the next hole. It was a par three. We get up to the hole, and it's for $1 million, and there's a sticker for the $1 million. It's about 2 inches from the hole, Donald Trump.
Right, Donald Trump.
Get out of here.
And Boomer says, of all the guys that needs to win $1 million.
Unbelievable.
Now, is your memory this good with everything, or is this
I just enjoy. I had a couple memories with John Daly. You were just talking about it. We played in a pro-am at the travel tournament over in Connecticut.
Travelers.
And Bob Backlund was my caddy, and he'd never been on a golf course before. So I lost all my head covers, lost a couple of irons, and we finally get done, and we go into this big hospitality room, and one of the guys came over and said, "Hey, Sarge, John Daly would like to meet you." And I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, he's a huge fan." So I look over, and, you know, John's not very tall.
No.
And I look, and I see him, and he's got a smile from ear to ear. And I said, "Come on, Bob, we're going to go meet John Daly." And Bob Backlund says, "The mayor of Chicago?" And I said, "No, the golfer, John Daly, the golfer."
Sergeant Slaughter with us on behalf of WrestleMania, and it's not just a one-day event. It's a week-long spectacular. New York and New Jersey are going to host a ton of events. It's a part of WrestleMania week, so this is a big deal. It's the crowning event of the year for the WWE. And
yes, I like the way you put that.
Yeah.
Crowning event.
Yeah, so this is it. It's going to be another big show, and a bunch of eyeballs and a bunch of fans will be there. And you're here sort of promoting it still with passion for it, which is great.
We get people from all over the world. They come from everywhere. And it's as we would say, like our Super Bowl, and people come from everywhere, and we try to make them all happy, and they go home happy. It's just not just one day. It's a week-long event.
Yeah, April 4th to April 8th at Brooklyn Pier 12.
Yes.
And tickets currently available, like Gio said, through Ticketmaster. Sarge, it's great to see you again.
Good to be here.
Thanks for bringing back all those great memories.
Yeah. Are you still hitting the golf ball?
I am, yes. And I'm hitting it pretty well. A lot better than the last time we played.
Okay. Good. All right.
Sergeant Slaughter, was a pleasure.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.